Well, it's good to be with you. My name is Ira Edgeworth, has been for some time now. And we'll say a little bit more about our ministry, and but my family's on the next hour. I want to get right into this. I travel all over the United States speaking about creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, one of my favorite topics. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. What about dinosaurs? Lots of questions about dinosaurs. What happened to the dinosaurs? Did anybody here have to stop to let a dinosaur cross the road this morning? I don't know if any. I haven't seen too many of them lately. I wonder what happened to them anyway. What did happen to the dinosaurs? Now, some say there's a popular theory that, you know, 65 million years ago. By the way, any time somebody starts out a story millions or billions of years ago, you need to understand, whatever they tell you from that point on, they made it up. Okay? It's a made-up story. That means, let me interpret that for you, millions of years ago, that means once upon a time, long ago, and far away. Okay? And they're going to tell you a made-up story. But they say 65 million years ago, there was a giant asteroid hit the Earth and threw up a cloud of dust and choked off the sun. The environment changed and the plants died. And one guy said, no, it was a giant eruption inside the Earth that threw up the cloud of dust and choked. Or was it an asteroid hit the Earth, caused the eruption? Well, less of dinosaur extinction theories anyway. Now, here's one new theory. Lack of oxygen, not asteroid, killed the dinosaurs. So some say just you couldn't get enough air, apparently. So that's why some of them died. Now, some believe, actually, because the plants died, they couldn't get enough to eat, so they all starved to death. Actually, you have also the opposite view that some believe it was from overeating. So you got both. Now, some say after they overate, they had gas problems. And so, and that's, I'm not making that one up. That's a legitimate dinosaur extinction theory. They believe indigestion was possibly. Now, one guy said maybe they just took up smoking and died of lung cancer. I don't know. Know about that one, but lots of dinosaur extinction theories. Anybody here thinking they can name all the dinosaurs? Anybody? I don't see any hands. Usually I have, some are a little bit hesitant here. If you thought about raising your hand, first thing I want you to do is name this one right here. Okay? You don't see any hands. Okay. Well, this is a very rare dinosaur. It's understandable if you don't know this one. This is a Blandosaurus. Okay? So it's I'm going to tell you today 15 facts about, oh, you know what? I changed this. There's 12 facts. I forgot to change this slide. We're going to tell you actually 12 facts about dinosaurs today. Fact number one, some dinosaurs had horns you could use for Tyrek. Now, if you look at this thing on the back of this one's head here, this looks like something I could hang up in the back of my closet and hang my ties on. So if you just think of a Tyrek, then put an S on it. This is a Styracosaurus. Okay? So it'll help you remember this one. By the way, maybe some of you didn't realize this. This morning, I am wearing the world's longest necktie. You see, this right here is the world's longest neck. World's longest necktie. Okay. I like this dinosaur. You know, I think, though, I can't prove this, but this may have been the dinosaur that invented hairspray. You know, he's got kind of like a spike hairdo there. But I like this Styracosaurus. But you know, there's one thing about the Styracosaurus that I just do not like. Would you like to know what that is? Well, I'm going to tell you what that is in just a few minutes, okay? Fact number two, some dinosaurs had really sharp claws. I have a raptor claw on my fossil display over there if you look at it later. But they had these really sharp claws. Now, the Velociraptor had this bony tail to help him run fast. But he had really, really sharp claws. Do you know what that means? Well, he had to be very, very careful picking his nose, okay? So, I mean, he could rip his top lip right off if he wasn't careful. But I like the Velociraptor. But you know, there's one thing about the Velociraptor that I just do not like. And I'm going to tell you what that is. In just a few minutes, okay? Fact number three, God created the dinosaurs. You know, that's one of my pet peeves. I think if God made them, he had to get the credit for it. He didn't get the credit for it too much, okay? And that bothers me. And see, the Bible says, for in 6 days, now you notice it does not say 6 billion years, it says 6 days, and it's awful hard getting a million years out of an evening and a morning, okay? So, in 6 days, the Lord made heaven, and you notice heaven is in the singular, in the King James, not heaven's plural like in those other versions, and it makes a difference and is important. See, He made heaven. Now, you have to understand, He's creating a physical universe. He made heaven, singular, space. He spoke it into existence. It was in darkness. They said He made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So He made space and everything in it, the earth and everything on it, and the sea and everything in it, in 6 days. Okay? And one guy, a professor at University of Michigan, he tried to say that my science was all wrong and everything, and he said, and your scripture is all wrong, you interpret the Bible wrong. Why? God made the earth before the actually 6 days of His creation. I said, wait a minute. Exodus 20:11 says, in 6 days He made heaven, the earth, and the sea and everything in it in those 6 days. But you say He made it before that. Well, you're not arguing with me, you're arguing with God, okay? He said He made it in 6 days. But that means dinosaurs would be in the Garden of Eden. You probably have never thought about, here's Adam planting tomato plants and stuff, and here's a T-Rex tromping through the garden. Probably never thought about that, but they'd be dinosaurs in the Garden of Eden. And that was only about 6,000 years ago, okay? We're going to talk about, in the next hour, we're going to talk about the age of the earth. And there's a lot of evidence here to see how old it is, and it's not millions of years old, but they cannot be. But it was only about 6,000 years ago. That would mean dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark. Dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Well, I know some of you probably got some questions about that. We're going to answer those hopefully in the next few minutes. See, the Bible says, of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort, that means every kind, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. You just need a pink one and a blue one. Now, if you had two of every kind of creature God made on Noah's ark, doesn't that mean you'd have two different kinds of dinosaurs? By the way, there are not thousands of kinds of dinosaurs, okay? Like you see in the dinosaur books. They'll show you a Brachiosaurus looking this way and tell you how big he was. And then they show you one looking this way that's bigger than that. And then they'll tell you, well, his bones are just like the Brachiosaurus, but he's much bigger. And then they show you one looking this way, and that's an Ultrasaurus. And, well, his bones are just like the Well, see, dinosaurs are reptiles. Did you know that reptiles keep growing as long as they live? Reptiles never stop growing until they die. Man lived over 900 years before the flood. Can you imagine reptiles, lizards living for 1,000 years and never stop growing? They could get pretty big. See, God, the reason why God put them on the boat, because when they got off, they could grow up and get married and have babies for a long time. So you don't want the biggest and oldest ones you can find, okay? And so if you took some of the smaller ones, it would be a problem. After Noah's flood, God described a creature to a man named Job called Behemoth. Now, what was Behemoth? Well, the Bible says in Job chapter 40, Behemoth ate grass like an ox. He had a strong belly. In fact, that was the strongest part of his body through his midsection. He had a tail like a giant cedar tree. Now, the cedar trees of the Bible, the cedars of Lebanon, the big, tall, skinny cedar trees, they used to mast in the big sailing vessels. He had a tail like that. See, he had strong bones, and his call, it says he is the chief of the ways of God, the chief of all of God's creatures. Now, some of your Bibles may have a footnote in it that says that Behemoth was either an elephant or a hippo. Here's what you need to do. You need to cross out these footnotes right here. See, that's what I had to do in one of my Bibles, King James Bible. But, you see, this over here is inspired. This isn't, okay? And where they get some of these footnotes, I don't know, okay? Because if you have a Bible that says a hippopotamus or a elephant has a tail like a giant cedar tree, just remind yourself they're not inspired, okay? Those notes are not. Let's see, boys and girls, which one of these has a tail like a giant cedar tree, A or B? Now, if you said A, I can see. Now, you can see this moving this tail like this. Boy, it looks like a big cedar tree waving the breeze. I've seen elephants' tails, okay? It does not remind me of a giant cedar tree. Fact number five, some dinosaurs are really thick-headed. I have this one over here on the table that looks like the construction hat on. One that pastor asked me if it was a duct taposaurus. I don't know where you got that idea, but this is a pachycephalosaurus. Now, the pachycephalosaurus was really thick-headed. I mean, he was really... Actually, his skull was 10 inches thick. They believe he's one of the head-butting dinosaurs, you know, like the ram butt their heads together. Now, let's see, what do we know so far about this? Well, he was thick-headed and always butting in. Now, I've heard there's some people just like that still alive today. But you know, there's one thing about the pachycephalosaurus that I just do not like. And I'm going to tell you what that is. Right after we learn just a few more things about dinosaurs. Fact number six, some dinosaurs were real big. This right here is a Brachiosaurus toe bone. That's the long neck. Now, do you know why the Brachiosaurus has such large toe bones? It's because he had big toes. Okay, and He had big feet. Here's a boy taking a bath in one of his footprints. He had big feet because he had big legs. This gentleman right here, who's about 6 foot tall, he's standing next to just the front leg of a Brachiosaurus, and it's 20 feet tall. And that's not even the biggest one they found. Up in Alberta, Canada, about 10 years ago, they found the whole skeleton of a dinosaur there on the side of this mountain. The whole skeleton is 150 feet long. He could look into a fifth-story window. So big he was. They say it's going to take about 60 years to excavate the whole skeleton. I think because it's a government project, but I'm not sure. But they say he would weigh about 100 tons, okay? That's like if you stacked up 14 school buses on top of each other, then you tried to lift it. I couldn't lift one, but do you know, boys and girls, if he were to come by and step on you, oops, sorry, you'd be very deeply impressed by him. Okay. Be like road pizza. How did God get all those great big dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Well, you have to understand how big the Ark was. Okay, according to the Bible dimensions, they may be using a conservative cubit, but according to the Bible dimensions, it was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, and it had three floors on it. Now, if you can imagine a football field, which is 300 feet long, this is like one football field and half of another football field. I don't even know any stadiums where you could hold that big a boat. I mean, up there in University of Michigan, you got to hold over 110,000 people around the outside, but what if you had a boat so big you couldn't even fit it in the stadium, and you get a whole football field and then half another football field with three floors on it? How many critters do you think you could get on there? They've estimated the inside dimensions would be like 569 railroad boxcars. They've estimated you can get, if you took two of every kind of animal on Earth today, if you took some of the younger ones, including about 40 extinct varieties, you could get them all on about 120 railroad boxcars. So you'd have an extra 450 boxcars or so to put food on and so on. But you could get them on there if you took some of the younger ones and the smaller ones, like the elephants. If you took some, by the way, did you know that elephants have one thing that no other animal has? It's true. Baby elephants. Nobody else has those. But if you took some of the younger, the smaller elephants and the giraffes and even the dinosaurs, well, there'd be lots of room for them on Noah's Ark. Be lots of room. Did you know the biggest dinosaur egg they've ever found was a little bit bigger than a football? So as far as we know, all of the dinosaurs started out smaller. Then they grew up. Some of them started out smaller than the rest. Some of them, in fact, there's one type of dinosaur, the biggest one they've ever found so far in the fossil record was just the size of a chicken. Can you imagine if some of them have survived along with a few others? Well, we might be going out this afternoon for Kentucky Fried Dinosaur. I mean, that'd be kind of neat. But fact number seven, some dinosaurs really had a lot of teeth. Now, this is the Mayasaura. It's one of the duck-billed dinosaurs. Now, I remember the name of this one. Although it's pronounced Mayasaura, it's got M-A on the front of it, Ma. And it's, the name means good mother lizard. He had, or she had, she had little tiny teeth. But they had 2,000 of them. Can you imagine imagine getting up in the morning and having 2,000 teeth to brush? Your mom would say, "Did you get your teeth brushed from breakfast yet, sweetheart?" "No, yeah, Mom." "Hurry up, it's almost lunchtime." I mean, it'd take you all probably late for school every day. If you had 2,000 teeth to brush. I like the duck-billed dinosaur. But you know there's one thing about the duck-billed dinosaur that I just do not like. Now, you folks are pretty well reserved. I've been in churches where by this time half the kids were at least saying it right with me, so but read it loud, but you guys are pretty good. But I'm going to tell you what that is in just a few minutes, okay? Fact number eight, dinosaurs may have been called dragons. In fact, I believe for a long time after Noah's flood, I believe they called them dragons. Now, after Noah's flood, God described a creature to Job called Leviathan. What was Leviathan? Some of your Bibles may have a footnote that says Leviathan was either a whale or a whirlpool. Now, maybe you didn't think about this, but there's quite a bit of difference between a whale and a whirlpool. And in fact, if you cannot tell the difference between a whale and a whirlpool, I probably will not send you to the store for peach ice cream. Okay, but there's quite a bit of difference there. Now, some of them may say crocodile. It's not a crocodile either. You can cross that out too, okay? In Job chapter 40, when it says Leviathan was real big, in fact, God says to Job, "Job, if you hook a Leviathan, can you pull him out?" Why would he even ask that question? Well, obvious answer. By the way, do you know through chapters 38 through 42 in the book of Job, God asked Job 84 questions, never gets an answer? Well, they weren't designed to get an answer. They're designed to change an attitude, you know. But you see, Job started out pretty good. Then all of a sudden he said, oh, pity poor me. I'd be better off not even being born. And God says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Didn't answer him. Then he asked him 83 more questions. Then he described Leviathan, how big and ferocious. People trembled at just mention of his name. Then he said, Job, I made him. So Job got a little bit different idea about who God was. So he repented. But the Bible says he was real big, had tough, scaly skin. In fact, it says his scales are his pride. Does a whale have scales? No. Does a whirlpool have scales? How many think we could eliminate whale or whirlpool about here, okay? Where do they get these footnotes? I don't know. Now, I know crocodiles have kind of tough, scaly skin, but we can eliminate them. Because it said he has smoke that comes out of his nostrils, fire comes out of his mouth, and God calls him a dragon. Now, Psalm 74 said, thou dost divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces. Look at Isaiah 27. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. Crooked serpent? And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now, what was the prophet Isaiah talking about in chapter 14, verse 29, also chapter 30, verse 6? When he talked about the fiery flying serpent. What is a fiery flying serpent? Well, I think it may have looked something like this. Now, in this book for kids about dinosaurs, it says, is this a dragon or a dinosaur? Down at the bottom, it says, well, it's definitely a dragon. But why would they even ask that question? Let's use our imagination for a moment. Let's take the horns off and the wings off. What would that look like? A dinosaur. Is there a connection? Now, in this book for kids, it says, when the Chinese start digging up these dinosaur bones, why, they call them dragon bones. Why, that's just because they didn't understand that dinosaurs once existed. Well, maybe because that's what they used to call them before they invented the word dinosaur in 1841. So Richard Nolan, who was a creationist, by the way, he invented the word. They were digging up these big bones. He said, well, these are lizard bones. We've never seen any lizards this big. What on earth are these things? So he called it a dinosaur. Two Latin words, dinos, meaning terrible, and saurus, meaning lizard. A big, terrible lizard. I believe before that, they called them dragons. Now, there are thousands of legends of people killing and seeing dragons. I have that book up here on the table if you want to look at it. But here's Siegfried slaying a dragon and Gilgamesh slaying a dragon. He's a man named in the Bible. Did you know in the writings of Alexander the Great in 326 B.C., he talked about his men being frightened by these long-necked dragons living in caves? What were those long-necked dragons back then? And about 275 A.D., St. George and the Dragon, I've got the legend of St. George up here on the table, he is killed a dragon, supposedly saved the city and the king's daughter, and they made them the patron saint of England and Portugal. How about, excuse me, this one. Beowulf slew many dragons, killed while fighting a winged dragon in 583 A.D. Did you know in 900 A.D., over in Ireland, there was a man writing over there in Ireland who was describing a creature living in Ireland at that time that had a head like a horse, had nails on the end of its tail. The way he described it was just like a stegosaurus. Stegosaurus has these big nails. I've got one of them over there in the fossilist place, about this big. That's a nail off the end of his tail, a copy of it, a replica. Also, I have one of the plates off his back, smaller one. By the way, the one plate they're sticking out of the box, the first set of those they found was down in one of the southern states. An elderly lady was digging in the backyard one day and found a whole set of these, didn't know what they were. So she painted them white and lined her driveway with them. So that's where they found the first set. But he called this a dragon. Sounded like a stegosaurus. Do you know Marco Polo in 1271 A.D., when he was in China, he said the emperor raised dragons to pull his chariots in his parades. What were those dragons back then? Now, all the ancient cultures had dragons in their cultures. Here's a Viking sailing vessel. This is just 1,000 years ago with the dragon head on the front of it. Here's a Bulgarian postage stamp, man slaying a dragon, Russian medallion. You have the Greeks and the Romans, the Chinese, all of them had dragons in their cultures. Now, two questions come to mind. Number one, were they all just making up story about a fictitious creature that didn't exist, that their stories just sounded similar? Or were they all actually seeing something like that? Well, I think they were seeing something like that. Here's four reasons I believe in fire-breathing dragons. Number one, because the Bible says so. The scriptural evidence. The Bible calls Leviathan a dragon, describes it as a fire-breathing dragon. If that's all we had to know that one existed, that would be enough. But because of the history behind it, Dr. Hovind once said, you know, if you can find on microfilm a dictionary encyclopedia from the 1600s, So look up the word dragon. So why, what will it say? It'll say something like this, an extremely rare but still living creature. I'm going to show you something newer than that in just a minute. Also because it's chemically possible to do that. You know, there are two creatures living today that store chemicals in their body that can shoot a fire-like substance out of their body. We're going to look at one of them in just a minute. Also because of the anatomy of some of the dinosaurs, just the way God built them, they could have been a fire-breathing dragon. Now, this is Webster's First Collegiate Dictionary, 1951. I looked up the word dragon, and it says now rare. Some of these definitions were carried forward from older ones. But in his second edition, 19 years later, 1970, he said it was a mythical monster that never existed. Well, that's not the same thing from being rare to never existing. Some have said, well, the reason why Mr. Webster said they're rare, because he heard about the Komodo dragon off the coast of Indonesia and the Komodo Islands. Not a lot of them left. There's a few, but other. I said, well, that's interesting. Aren't they still there today? Weren't they still rare when he wrote his second edition? If that's what he was talking about, why didn't he say they were still rare? Why did he say they didn't exist? And that doesn't explain maps like this of commonly reported dragon sightings in England and Wales. Now, we said it's chemically possible to do that. This is a little creature called the bombardier beetle. The bombardier beetle stores four chemicals in his body. The first two, if they come in contact with one another, will ignite and explode, make a loud popping noise at 212 degrees. There's a third chemical that's an inhibitor that will keep those two from igniting, but there's a fourth chemical he stores in his body. He's got two little combustion chambers. He stores these chemicals. He's got two little exhaust pipes, shoots them out of his body, outside his body. They mix together, takes the inhibitor away, and they explode, make a loud popping noise at 212 degrees. That's pretty hot. Can you imagine if a frog tried to swallow a bombardier beetle? Well, I'm going to show you what happens. Here's a frog, and he's got his eye on a bombardier beetle, and I think I know what he's thinking. Lunch. Yum, yum, din, din, eat him up. Then he goes over, and he gobbles him up. Guess what he does next? Now, if you look at the expression on his face, it's kind of like, where's the water hole? Now, you notice the beetle. Stupid frog. I think some of God's creatures that he made just couldn't defend themselves quite so well, so he'd give a little extra boost. Now, if you're an evolutionist, you're sitting here today, I'd like you to explain to me afterwards, which one of those four chemicals did he evolve first and why? Would it do him any good if he didn't have two combustion chambers, have it all stored just right, and have the timing right? And don't underestimate the timing. You don't time this right, he'll blow his little behind off, okay? So, this is a design defense mechanism. Explain to me how that happened through a series of accidents. Okay. The Parasaurolophus, we said because of the anatomy of some of the dinosaurs, this is the one over here on the table with the big bump. Well, I got a little bump, but he's got a big bump on the back of his head. Some have said he had this big bump on the back of his head so he can make loud bellowing noises to scare away his enemies. Well, actually, that's part of his nose. Okay. It's a sinus cavity. Now, I know folks that make loud belly noises when they blow their nose. I don't think they're trying to scare away their enemies. Okay, just make loud noises. But he also had two tubes running from back there down into his nose, into his mouth. What if he stored chemicals like the bombardier beetle? Well, he could shoot them out through his nose and mouth. Does that prove he's a fire-breathing dragon? No, it just proves he could have been. Okay, the way he was built, he could have done that. I like the Parasaurolophus. Did you know there's one thing about the Parasaurolophus that I just do not like? I see him saying it with me, but they're just not saying it out loud. And I'm going to tell you what that is in just a few minutes, okay? Fact number 9, dinosaurs and people have lived together. And I have proof that they lived together. See, there's proof right there. Now, National Geographic says no living human being has ever seen a live dinosaur. Hey, excuse me, have you interviewed every live human being who ever lived? You never asked me. I wish you would have, too. See, I've talked to 6 people that claim they've seen a live dinosaur. Some of you here this morning will be skeptical of that. You know why? Because you've been brainwashed. And we're going to talk about it. You know, if I really believe God created everything about 6,000 years ago, and everything went through a great flood, if I heard somebody say there's no dinosaurs alive anywhere, I'd be skeptical of that. In the city of New Luck, France, they renamed their city because of a creature they killed there bigger than an ox that had 3 horns coming out of his head, and the way he described it was just like a triceratops. like this dinosaur. You know, there's a reptile today about this big, has three horns coming out of his head. I wonder if he grew about 10 times bigger, what he would look like. Just a thought. I like the Triceratops, but you know there's one thing about the Triceratops that I just do not like. And I'm going to tell you what that is in just a few minutes. Okay. 1500s, there was a, over in Italy, there's a peasant over there killed a long-necked dragon. That's what they called it. A scientist bought the body from him and had it on display in a museum for a number of years. What was that long-necked dragon over there in the 1500s? You know, in the Ica Valley over in Peru, there's a people that live there. The best, I've looked at in the encyclopedias, I've been on online, the best I can figure out, some have figured they lived about 3,000 years ago. Then they kind of vanished. But they left behind some human artifacts. Now in the 1500s, the Spanish conquistadors were in that area, found a bunch of these stones that had strange creatures carved on them. Now remember, they lived 3,000 years ago. This gentleman right here has collected thousands of those, has them in a museum. There's one of them right there. One of these stones. There's a Triceratops, there's a Stegosaurus, Brachiosaurus. How did those people living there 3,000 years ago know what dinosaurs looked like? Unless they'd seen some. They hadn't dug up any bones yet. Okay? Now they tried to say it was just a hoax. Some guy was carving them out. Well, they said that because they were going to arrest the guy and put him in prison because it was against the law to sell human artifacts over there. They said, no, I've just been carving these out. They're not really human artifacts. So when the newspapers came around, that's what they told him. He had been doing these himself, and there was a hoax. Then they found so many of them, they figured out how many him and how many of his friends would have to be working around the clock to turn all these out, and they wouldn't have enough time. Now, he was just trying to keep out of prison, so I said he was carving them out himself. How did the American Indians know what the land dinosaurs looked like? So, because there's pictographs of them in the caves of the Grand Canyon. How did they know what the flying dinosaurs look like? Because they've got pictographs of them also. Now, back in 1953, Chevrolet came out with a Corvette. The Ford Motor Company wanted to have something to compete with it, so they came up with the name Thunderbird for the new car. But they didn't have an emblem for it. One of their junior executives, I think it was, in some of their promotional material, they say that he was in like New Mexico or someplace and found a blanket with a condor on it. So they used the condor for the emblem on their car. But the Indians said, why, you should have had a pterodactyl. You see, that bird had a big bump on the back of its head, teeth in its beak, claws on its wings. And they said it used to swoop down and pick up Indians and fly off with them. The largest pterodactyl they found in the fossil record had a 60-foot wingspan. Life on Earth was a little bit different before the flood than it is today. We're going to talk about that tonight. I want to show you what the pre-flood world was really like. We're going to look at that tonight. But fact number 10, some dinosaurs may be still alive today. As I said, I've talked to some folks. There's a swamp over in Africa, the Lickowalla Swamp, largest swamp in the world, bigger than the state of Arkansas, 55,000 square miles. Over 80% of it is unexplored because of the poisonous snakes and things. You know, one bite you, you're dead in 15 seconds, you know, and you can't call 911. But there's big crocodiles and stuff in there. But there have been reports coming out of that swamp for over 100 years of land dinosaurs living in that swamp. I've got some old newspaper articles talking about that. In fact, I've had some recently. There's been about 20 expeditions in there. But they're very sensitive to sound. They're very afraid of humans. So they kind of stay out of the way. They've got a picture here of a three-toed dinosaur track they found, one that weighed about 3,000 pounds, they think, that they did find over there. Back in 1983, a group of Congo officials went into the jungle and actually saw one and heard it roar. Actually, I think they got a tape of it roaring from a distance, got a distant photograph, and they were going around there talking about it. The natives call it Mokele Mbembe. Now, Mokele Mbembe means river blocker. Okay? And that's what the natives say it looks like. Now, what about Loch Ness? Well, there's that. Yeah, I used to think that was a hoax. You know, there have been over 11,000 people, so they've seen Loch Ness. Very reputable people, many of them. This is an underwater photograph taken by the Academy of Applied Science in Boston, Massachusetts in 1975. They put a camera down there with a triggering device. Something goes close to it to take a photograph. One morning, they see it's got a head, a long neck, and four flippers. They said, whatever this thing is, its front flipper was about 6 feet long. That's the Loch Ness Monster. game warden over there, Alexander Campbell, their water bailiff, he said, in 47 years, I've seen Nessie 18 times, and sometimes there's been a baby with it. Some of them believe it just comes out, mostly eat at night. And it said a very sensitive sound. You hear sound a long ways underwater, and they're very afraid of humans, so it doesn't come out much. But it wasn't, in fact, until they put a road along one side of Loch Ness. Loch means lake. Lake Ness is 24 miles long, mile and a half wide, and very deep in places. And they cut out a road through the rock because the rock goes down very steep. They say the peat washing down the hillside turns the water dark brown. So it's like going through a cup of coffee. They tried submarine attempt stuff, and they haven't found it. Sonar, but they said, well, it's very sensitive to sound. It's very afraid of people, and there's these deep crevices at the bottom there. They think if they hear anything coming, they'll go down in there, and they think of some caverns going back up in the mountains. So they said you probably wouldn't see them usually. It's not just in Scotland. Here's a map of these deep lakes in Ireland where they're also seeing creatures just like that. How about Ogopogo, the Lake Okanagan monster up in Okanagan Lake in Canada? How about Caddy, the Cabro Bay monster, Vancouver area? How about here's a deep lake in Sweden where they see the Loch Ness Lake monster. Here's a CNN took a video footage. They had video footage about 20 seconds of this thing, 35 to 40 feet long, dark brown color, and going through the water. And the scientists have investigated that and said, well, whatever it is, it's not mechanical. It's a live creature. The English Channel Sea Serpent. Now, most of these things, probably most of you have not heard of before. The National News Service often puts these out, but it's up to the local stations to pick up on it, and usually they don't. I know I've talked to one of the guys who's a cameraman at one of the local TV stations, and he was telling me about this. But for some reason, somebody in this country is trying to suppress this information about there being dinosaurs still alive somewhere. Over in China, they call them USOs, unidentified swimming objects. I thought that was kind of neat. Here's one sighted in the Potomac, Chesapeake Chessie, off the coast of Pensacola, and dozens of sightings. Here's a sketch a guy made of the one there. In the Flathead Lake Monster in Montana, Lake Champlain between New York and Vermont, 120 miles long. There's a photograph taken in 1977 by a born-again Christian lady. Her and her husband and two kids watched this thing for about 10 minutes. When she took that photograph, she said it turned and looked over its back, but you could just see its tail sticking out of the water. She said, don't tell us we didn't see a dinosaur. There's the book, Champ Ben the Legend. I have that up here on the table if you want to look at it. Erie, Lake Erie's, Bessie matches Nessie. Now, some call it Lemmy, Lake Erie Monster. Here's a charter boat captain, his wife and 12 people on board, saw this one. The guy took a photograph of this thing going through the water. There's one in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. There's one called Kiwi, the Keweenaw Bay Monster. I've talked to two people who have seen this one. And the last 30 years in Pontiac Lake, Lower Michigan, talked to the elderly people there about this creature they used to see there in that lake, deep lake, a dinosaur-like creature. Now, this is a report. Reuters News carried this in October of 2002. A bird the size of a small airplane was recently spotted flying over southwest Alaska, puzzling scientists. The Anchorage Daily News reported this week, like something out of the movie Jurassic Park, had a wingspan of 14 feet. Many pilots will tell you they've seen creatures with a 20-foot wingspan, flying up very high, migrating from like Saskatchewan or someplace to Mexico. They're way up high where you can't see them, but 20-foot wingspan? I've talked to three people that have seen one in Michigan that had about a 10-foot wingspan. And they're seeing them in Papua New Guinea, Fly River Valley, and other places. Pterodactyls still alive. There are actually over 200 places around the world still reporting dinosaur-like creatures still alive. So please be careful crossing the parking lot after. No, I'm just kidding. There are not that many of them. But fact number 11, if you're saved, you might have a dinosaur for a pet someday. See, the Bible says the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming back to this earth, going to make it like it was in the Garden of Eden. It says all the wild animals will be tame again. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. It says a little child shall lead them. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and I can play with them? They won't hurt you. You know what that means? If there's some dinosaurs out there in the swamps and stuff, they won't be afraid of us anymore. They're going to start coming out. How would you like to have a dinosaur for a pet? Somebody, I think God's got some great stuff planned for His kids, man. I don't want to miss any of this stuff, you know. Now, that's not the best reason to get saved, okay? But it might tell your neighbor, maybe it'll work. You know, don't know. A dinosaur for a pet? Well, possibly. Could be. But you know, there is one thing about all the dinosaurs that I just do not like. In fact, I love dinosaurs, but I hate this with a passion. And you see, I believe the devil is using dinosaurs as one of his favorite tools to get people to believe a lie. They'll get our kids when they're about 5 or 6 years old, and they'll read a book. I can read about dinosaurs. They're going to show them a drawing of a dinosaur, plus the very first thing they're going to be told. Millions of years ago. Come on, folks, be honest. When you see a picture of a photograph or a picture of a dinosaur, you know, we'll usually go through our mind, back into our subconscious at least, there's that millions of years idea. We automatically think of that. And I think we've been brainwashed. See, the devil wants to get you believing this earth is very old, that they lived millions of years ago, and that things just evolved. You see, I think it's time we give the glory back to God for one of his greatest creatures. And we need to tell people the truth about dinosaurs. I'm getting tired of the devil stealing glory from God and getting people to believe this lie. Many of people who just watched my dinosaur video will get saved because of realizing the truth that's there in the Word of God. Never doubt the Word of God. It always holds up to the test. It works. And Satan's a liar. We need to let people know the truth. We have this presentation is on videotape. We're taping today, and we're hoping to have some DVDs available in a couple weeks or so. It will be available to your church. But please, let people know the truth about dinosaurs. It does make a difference. We've seen kids in public school get saved just learning the truth and seeing the things that they've never been told before. They'll give them the truth. Pastor.
Do. We're going to